Father, thank you again for your mercy and grace today. I pray, Lord, you would guide us and help us as we go through these times. Even though they are uncertain for us, they are certain for you. And God, you know all things, and you will certainly direct us in the right path. Bless now, Lord, our efforts to reach out to our membership and even to the world, that we might proclaim your gospel and the truth as it ought to be proclaimed. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, this is Pastor William Coleman of the Crossroad Baptist Church, and we welcome you. We're having to take precautions due to the coronavirus, but we know that the gospel work is not limited to what we do in this place. It's all around the world, and it's impacting the lives of many people. Got a special message for you, and I trust that you will enjoy this as we look to the Lord for direction. There are a couple of announcements for our church. The health fair that we had planned for March 28th, 2020, that has been canceled. And the mammography appointments, however, will continue as scheduled. So if you have mammography appointments, they will continue as scheduled. All of our other services are either canceled or delayed at this time. We ask that you would go to our website, crossroadbc.com, for further notices. We got a word from the Lord that we want to share with you from 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verses 13 through 19. And he, the Aramaean king, said, "Go and spy where Elisha the prophet is, that I may send and capture him." And it was told, "Look, he is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he, the Lord, struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man that you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 through 19. I want to share with you a message entitled, "Prayer Still Works." You need to understand that prayer to God still works. And the first thing that we notice about prayer is that it prepares God's people. Isn't it interesting that we normally don't pray until we're in trouble? It's sad but true, but many only turn to God when there's a need that is present in their lives. It seems that these needs prompt us to pray because we understand that there's a threat or there's something that we need to pay attention to. But may I suggest to you that rather than desperation, we need to pray for preparation. Not just to pray that God would get us out of trouble, but that God would get us through the trouble. Now, to bring you into this passage and into the scripture, the Aramaean king, or in the Bible it says Syria, they had sought to find out where Elisha was. Now, they wanted to find him because Elisha kept reporting to the king of Israel everything that the king of Aramea was doing, or the king of Aram was doing in battle. He would inform the king, "Don't go in this direction because the Aramean king is preparing to attack you." And every time that he would tell him that, Israel was spared and the enemy was defeated. Let me just say to you that we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And it comes in many forms. It can come in the form of fear. It can come in the form of doubt. It can come in the form of anxiety and for looking after those things that are coming upon the world. But God would not have us to be worried. He would have us to worship him and to acknowledge that he is God. It is important for us to have insight into what God is doing. And that's exactly what prayer does for us. Notice in this text that the servant of Elisha did not understand what was going on, but Elisha had prayed and prepared himself for that time. He had prayed and God had given him insight not only how the enemy was going to attack, but God had showed him this is what you do when the enemy does attack. God had prepared Elisha through prayer. But we also find as we study the text is that prayer will also help us understand what will happen when the enemy arrives. Many of us are feeling the threat of this virus and we're assuming that all is lost. But we know that all is not lost because we are in God's hands. Elisha's servant, when he noticed that things were going on in his life, much like you and I, he had prayed these basic security prayers. He had prayed that God would keep him, that God would give him a good day. But what Elisha prayed, he wanted to know what the enemy was doing. But more importantly, he wanted to know, Lord, what is your plan? How are you going to proceed with this? So when the enemy showed up and they had surrounded the town of Dothan, the servant of the Lord went out and he freaked out. He did not know what was going on. He didn't understand in his mind. Now, truly, I believe that he believed in God, but he didn't believe to the point where he prayed those preparatory prayers to pray that God would get him ready and that God would get him set for what was going to happen next. Saints of God, we need to be aware that God knows everything. He knows the future from the beginning, and God can still work miracles in our lives. Prayer still works. The Bible tells us that when the servant of the Lord went out and he looked out and into the fields and he saw these horses and chariots and this massive army coming against us. And he said to Elisha the prophet, "Oh no, my Lord, what are we going to do?" And Elisha spoke words of comfort and guidance and told him to not be afraid. Saints of God, we don't need to be afraid in times like this. Secondly, you need to understand that God is going to work even when the enemy does attack. Even when the things of life do come against us, even when the storms of life are raging, God is still on the throne and he cannot be changed. Now, there are two things that's revealed in this verse. First, you don't need to know all the details of the enemy's attack, but you need to know that the enemy will attack you. Whenever you're doing what God wants, and whenever you're seeking the will of God, you'd better know that the enemy knows who you are, and he knows that you're planning to serve God. And so what he wants to do is not only to interfere, he wants to destroy that work of God in you. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So not only should you know that the enemy is going to attack, but the second thing that you should know is that God has already done something about the situation. While the problem may take you and I by surprise, it never takes God by surprise. And so if our confidence is in God, we can always say to ourselves, our God did not bring us this far to leave us now. He will work it out. Those two things will take you through life. And you don't have to panic when everything is happening. Yes, we're human. Yes, we do get fearful. But don't let fear direct you and tell you the direction you ought to take. Fear should drive us to our knees, and we should say, Lord, there's something going on here. I don't understand it, but I know that you can work it out. And guess what God will do? He will work it out. Elisha, on the other hand, had not panicked. He'd not prayed this panic prayer. He knew that God had everything covered because, after all, God was showing him things in prayer. And that reminds us, prayer is not just something that we are expressing something to God. God could be revealing something to us, letting us know what is his will, letting us know how we're to serve, letting us know how he's going to direct us in the path of life. Elisha prayed another prayer. When he had not only prayed the prayer for that servant for his eyes to be revealed, and even in that prayer, Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Notice Elisha didn't pray, God, do something. He said, Lord, open his eyes. I want to tell you something, saints of God. I want to tell you something very wonderful. It's not that we should be not be praying that God would stop this virus. God has already done something about the virus. He's already done something about the problem in your life. He's already done something about the need in your life. And what we need to do, God, open my eyes that I can see how you're moving, see how you're working, and God, I can have the confidence of knowing that you will bless and keep us. It's called a revelation prayer. And when you pray those revelation prayer, now God is speaking to you. When you're in prayer, allow him time to speak to your heart. And I can tell you, he'll reveal many things about your character, many things about your walk, many things of how you can develop in your faith, many things that he'll reveal to you of how you can be an overcomer, how you can live that victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's a revelation prayer, not a prayer that you are filled with anxiety, not a security prayer. It's a prayer that God would reveal his holy will. And then we see in the text also that Elisha prayed another prayer. He prayed this prayer and directed it at his enemies. He prayed when they began to approach. He said, Lord, what I want you to do now is blind their eyes. Notice he prayed that the servant of the Lord, he'd open his eyes, but for the enemy, he had prayed, Lord, blind their eyes. Fill them with blindness. Now, here's a point that I want to make. Elisha said to the servant of the Lord, and what that servant saw when his eyes was open, Elisha said, don't be afraid. They're more with us than they are with them. He said, don't be afraid. Don't freak out. Don't say that this is the end. We have more on our side than they have on their side. Now, the servant of the Lord, before that prayer, he didn't see it. But when Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes, then he saw the chariots all around. He saw how God had protection all around. And may I say to you, child of God, that the Lord has a hedge of protection all around you. We used to sing in the old church, Jesus be a fence all around me every day. And that protection is still there because you're a child of God. You believe in God, and because you believe in him, God said he would not only guide you, but he would protect you. But notice that prayer began to change when it came to the enemy. And even when he prayed the prayer, he didn't pray, God, destroy my enemy. He prayed that the Lord would blind the eyes of the enemy. It's a reminder that God is a God of mercy. And yes, you're going to have things that go wrong, but the Bible never tells us hate the enemy. It tells us to love your enemy, pray for them, pray for those who despitefully use you. What we ought to be doing is not just praying for us in America, we ought to be praying for people around the world because they all need God. And what if God did work a mighty miracle and all of a sudden this whole thing vanished? And I know that somehow in that process, man would want to take credit for it, but we know it's God. We know it's the Lord that makes these things happen. Elisha prayed that prayer. Lord, blind their eyes. And when they arrived in that city, they didn't take them captive. As a matter of fact, the prophet took them captive. Imagine that, two against an whole army. And you and I, in this day that we need to be walking in, we should not be walking in fear. We ought to be walking in the faith of God. We ought to have the boldness of God in our lives. And we ought to realize that the mighty power of God is working in our lives. And we can obey him each and every day. Here's the question I want to leave you with. Our subject is really prayer still works. And so I want to ask the question as we begin to close this message. How's prayer working in your life? How is prayer working its way out? Are you getting these prayers before God that they're called revelation prayers? Are you getting insight into the will of God? Is it a prayer that you're getting encouragement? If you're praying and you're still discouraged, I'd go back and I'd get on my knees again. And as the old church again said, you got to pray until you get a breakthrough. You got to pray until heaven comes down and glory fills your soul. So here are a couple of things I want to ask you as we apply this message to our lives. Are your prayers being heard by God? If you're praying that prayer and you're asking God to work in your life, do you really know without a shadow of a doubt that God is hearing your prayer? In James 4:3, we understand that there are sometimes we don't pray right. There are times in our lives that our prayer, we pray but we do not receive because we're asking with wrong motives. We're asking really that we may spend it, as James says, to get more pleasures in our life. That is not how God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray these bold prayers. Jesus taught us how to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Prayer is not just about what I get, but it's what I give to God. Am I giving him my worship? Am I giving him my attention? Am I saying with all of my heart, "God, you are sovereign in my life. You are working in my life. And I know that even now in the midst of a crisis, Lord, you have not changed. You are still God." He taught us to pray that prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Then he prayed, "Thy kingdom come." Now, if we're living in a world where the kingdom of God is not manifested, guess what we can do? We can pray for the kingdom of God to manifest itself, to reveal itself. Our prayers should not be filled with the desires that we might have more pleasures. Our prayers ought to be, "Lord, help me to do your will. Help me to serve you. Help me to honor you all the days of my life." So when you evaluate your prayer and you're asking yourself, "Is my prayer working?" you want to ask the question, "Is God listening?" If I were to pray, "Is my Heavenly Father listening?" But the second thing that you want to ask out in prayer, or you want to find out in prayer, what is God's agenda? What is his assignment for me? What is the Lord telling me that I need to do about this situation? Now, anytime God could tell Elisha what was going on in the enemy camp, he ought to tell us, he ought to be able to tell us at least what's going on in our life so that we would know how that he would order our steps. When we pray, we need to ask, as Jesus did, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And guess what? You're going to have more success doing his will than you will having to do your own will. Now is the time for us to pray that our eyes would be open to the will of God. I don't need to remind you that all of these plagues and all of these things that's coming upon us, it's an indication of the end time. Now, I don't claim to be some great prophet that I know what's next on God's agenda, but I can tell you what, his word tells us that these things must come to pass. And when they come to pass, we can be of great assurance that the Lord is working. Let me tell you, every time plague started happening in the Bible, God was getting ready to do something. It was either in response because of people doing evil, or it was in response to God preparing his people to move out of a certain land. When the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, God gave them signs that he showed them, "Listen, I'm not just going to punish the Egyptians for what they did to you. These are signs that I am come to deliver you. I've come to bring you out." Ladies and gentlemen, what if God is saying through these things, rather than you looking around, why don't you look up? Why don't you lift up your eyes? Why don't you behold the wondrous things that God is doing so that he can direct you out of this world? If you look at it from the sense that you're not going to be in this world forever anyway, why not look up? Why not look unto him and put your trust in him? Because we know that God is a faithful God. But then as I close this message, I want you to ask the third thing. Not only is it a thing about God's agenda, and not only should you be praying that you would not be doing the things to satisfy your own pleasure, but here's the third thing that you need to do. You need to ask God, "Lord, am I causing some of this? Is part of this my fault?" Now, I want to tell you that in these last couple of weeks, I've been on my knees, and that's exactly what I've asked God. I said, "Lord, I'm not that perfect. I know that my ways are not always perfect, but I know that I love you. I know that I want to serve you." And guess what? God has been doing a work in my life of cleansing. He said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And if we believe that God is cleansing us, if we believe that he's doing this great work in our life, we know that God is going to bring us through these times. So we're praying that God would use this to help us understand his will. Isn't it interesting that those that are in control, they're saying, the scientists and the officials are saying, that through isolation and cleanliness, we can overcome this virus. Don't get too close to other people. And then, and the second thing, make sure that you wash your hands regularly and use other precautions to prevent exposure. Now think about this. If that works naturally, why won't it work spiritually? If what we're going through causes us to look at it, look, don't, if you're exposed to sin, don't get close to anybody else. Don't contaminate them with your sin. And if cleansing is the way that we need to do, guess what? Just how you can be washed today. You can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God will come in and he'll cleanse us. God gave the invitation in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Yes, there's healing, there's cleansing, there's abundant grace in the blood of the Lamb. But you and I, we've got to come to him in prayer. I'm asking you again, do your prayers work? Are you praying and seeking God? I know that prayer still works. It worked for my mother. It worked for my father. And it's been working in my life. It's been working in your life, because God has brought you through some things before in your life. And God will continue to work things out if you put your trust in him. But you've got to believe that he is able. You've got to believe that he's willing. And you've got to believe that his mercy is being poured out in your life. And when you believe that, God will show you things. He showed Elisha things. And he'll show you things to come. He'll let you know that heaven is still your home, that you're just passing through this world. He'll let you know that I'm there in your life. I will walk with you. I will keep you through these storms, and I will bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need the abundance of things. I know the stock market is going down. Many people are losing their retirement, but you don't need to lose your soul. You don't need to lose that which God has deposited into your heart. You can still keep your soul. And guess what? You can keep your mind in times like these, because God still loves you. And no enemy from hell can destroy what God is doing in the life of his people. May God bless you and may he strengthen you. I want to pray for you so that you would have God's comfort. And I want to pray that God would open your eyes. While you're seeing all of these threats and all of these things that are happening, I want you to see the mercy of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your power. Thank you that you've been good to us. And now, Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes to see what you're doing and to see how you're moving in supernatural ways. And no one else can do. Move in our hearts, Lord, and show us what you're doing. Show us how we can obey you and serve you in a time like this. Speak to hearts, Lord, and show them their own sin so that they can confess it and put their trust in you. And Lord, I pray that you'd save souls today. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God.